Welcome to the Dr. Obed Obinade podcast. Dr. Obed is a thought leader and apologist who speaks to life's great existential questions of origin, purpose, faith, and destiny with fluency and grace. He is an author and the president of the Christ Cosmopolitan Incorporated, a vibrant apostolic commission that heralds the message of the fullness of Christ. Dr. Obed has seen his ministry soar to great heights over several years, touching the lives of many across the globe through his various ministry platforms. May you grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ as you listen to mind-renewing and heart-enlightening messages by Dr. Obed. Do enjoy this teaching. God bless you.
In the Old Testament, the Word of God personifies hope as our Lord. The hope of Israel is our Lord. The hope of Israel is not buildings. The hope of Israel is not a car. The hope of Israel, hear this, the resultant effect of hope personified will bring us lavishness, luxury, peace that we ever hoped for. But that is not our hope. Because until the present comes, all the hope of a good life will never be possible. I take it again. You need to be following me on this discourse and on this presentation, else you'll lose me out. Because in understanding the hope of Israel, we'll now be able to understand the hope of the church, and we'll now be able to also appreciate how God loves the world. What am I talking about? I am actually saying that you want to drive the best luxury car, but it ain't going to be possible unless you have money to buy it. So the hope of driving a luxury car is not the luxury car, but the hope is the ability to have capacity to buy. That is your hope. So until hope is personified in King Jesus, Israel is hoping for Messiah. But you know what? Messiah is a means to an end. And until Messiah is personified, until Messiah steps in the midst of the affliction, the hope is dashed and will never come to pass. So when you read the book of Jeremiah, he said, oh, the hope of Israel, the savior thereof in the time of trouble. Oh, the hope of Israel. So watch here. When we say hope, we are not talking about things. We are looking at an interruption of a person by which we are delivered from our affliction and our troubles. Marai, ikara, hostahande, mahakahashkahada, bi kiriada dasute, teyambu kemwandu aseyata, vuai kusi ulipi, apiai kitapai, paralo semprehiko. We are looking at a person that steps in the midst of your affliction and trouble. That is hope. No wonder Paul picked up the concept right in Jewish tradition and said, Christ, who is our hope? And most people may not be able to appreciate, how is Christ my hope? I'm hoping to go to heaven. Can I talk to you? Heaven is not our hope. I don't know if you can get this. Heaven is not our hope. Oh, I want to die and go to heaven. Heaven has never been my hope. My hope is Christ. My hope is Christ. There's nowhere in the Bible where he says heaven is our hope. But there are people who are here hoping for heaven. Yes. Heaven as an expectation can never be realized unless you have the capacity, the keys to open its door locks. And the person that opens those door locks is really the person of hope. So he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So Jesus is my hope. I am not hoping for something that should happen without Jesus. Listen, there is no way you can enter any showroom and show your graduation certificate and walk out with a car. You lie. You are confused. Unless you're a robber. You must be an armed robber or a fraudster to do that. There is what is referred to as legal tender. What makes exchange legal. Money. So when we say God so loved the world, hear this. He says, with this great love. How do we know? He was rich in mercy. Ooh. The mercy of God is a person. When God loved the world, he was talking about a person. He was not talking about the world. God loves the world. He was talking about a person. That was his best of treasures that he was offering to the world. Let me explain this to you. If I say I love you, the way to express it is to give you what I love. Otherwise, I am confused about my love for you. So I just don't love you abstractly. I said it's love in motion, love in action. I love you means that I'm going to give you my luxury car. I love you. And if that luxury car is not something I love, I don't love you. So my love for you is in the giveaway of what I love. Understand that. So when the Bible said God loves the world, God was actually giving us what he loves. So here this legal tender, 200,000 Ghana cedis for a car, is the same 200,000 cedis when you walk away with it. You are actually driving 200,000. You only give it out for the car. So it's an exchange. So when God gives you Christ that he loves, then it's an exchange of his love. Get this foundationally. Else you will not appreciate Christianity and religion. This is where religion comes into focus. That is what places a disparity between the Christian faith and all other faiths. What did they put on the table as an exchange? God sent prophets, but God placed no object of his passion as a stamp on their prophetic message. Then there were no saviors at all. I pray that you get this from today. When I say to you, religion is defined by faith. But this faith is not a belief in nothingness. It must be a belief in a person. So if Muhammad comes to you to tell you, I have hope for you, he must be offering you God's exchange, else he didn't qualify. If Buddha walked into your room and spoke to you about hope of a better tomorrow, I told you, it is not about the bliss of a place. It is not about the bliss of paradise. Listen, Christians, until you put your religion in focus, it will not sell. It will not sell. Stop preaching this heaven message. Hey, heaven is not at last. It is Christ that is at last. I'm praying you'll get me as I carry on. Because hear this. The object that transforms a hell into paradise is not the moving from one place to another, but it is the transportation means by which we are carried. So that God, he translated us from the kingdom of darkness, people of God, to the kingdom of his dear son. This is the means of a religion that gives life. Let Christianity be advertised properly. Else, we will only grow by reproductive process, sexual reproductive process. We only give birth, but the present generation will not be transformed into becoming Christians by preaching that kind of preaching we preach, because that preaching we preach is in error to the truth of the Bible. Hear me. If we should preach it the way it was preached by the fathers, we should have conquered the world by this time. But we went to the world and we told them of paradise, and Buddha also told them of paradise. We went to the world and told them of heaven, and Muhammad also told them of heaven. Even for us, the things that Muhammad promises his followers, Jesus didn't even promise us as much. It's more juicy, people of God. Oh, if you are a female, you don't understand. But for we, the guys, to have 70 virgins. Ah, what are you talking about? A pool of milk. You have 70 virgins. When you are done with them, you just jump into the pool, drink the milk, rejuvenate, and go back to work. Ah, what are you talking about? A place of honey. A place where the ladies, their bodies are like foam. Are you getting this? So if this is a promise, then why are you here? Then on the table of what is juicy and being presented, I will be a Muslim than be a Christian. Because what Muhammad is offering sounds juicy and better. Are you still going to be preaching this? You're preaching. Do you know why? Lots of you are Christians because you have not heard the promise of the other side. Plenty of you are Christians because you have not heard the promise of the other side. It is like somebody eating banku and saying banku is the sweetest food in the whole world. Abba, banku. How can you say that? So, let me just preach it the way I have to preach it. And I'm praying that your maturity will be able to process the things that I'm saying. You see, I'm talking about what in the world is the world that Jesus came to save? And what in the world is that world that God so loved? The world that God so loved is Jesus. You won't get it. The world that God so loved is Jesus. So that the offering of Jesus to the world was the world he loved. Oh, glory to God. God so loved the world. Read on. I'm not getting this. I said, God so loved the world that he gave what? The promise of heaven. No. Because Muhammad also gave the promise of heaven and explained to them the means by which they would enter eternal judgment into bliss. Buddha also promises people. Actually, there is no religion that does not promise the hereafter. So if that is what Christians you're going to be preaching, you are lost. You will have to face the challenge of breaking. And interestingly, these propounders of bliss offered much better, juicy promises that appease and pleases the flesh. And do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you will rule with me. You see, he saw the centrality.
So if on earth we are supposed to follow you, when will we come into a place of prominence?
You see, but when you love somebody, you want to be where they are. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hey, most people think that it is about the place. No, that where I am, there you may be also. It is not about the place he's going to prepare. He just wants a place where he can be with you. He's not giving you a place. He's giving you relationship. He's giving you communion. He's giving you fellowship with him. Him. This is the object of our religion. So watch this. What in the world did Jesus come to save? Him. And what in the world is the world that God loved? Jesus. Everything is an aftermath of that expression. It is like a man and his son whom he promised. He was going to, I'll tell you two stories. of this man who was Koshi Papa and was eating with his son Koshi. And he had promised his son that he was going to buy him a bicycle. People, listen to this story. And they were eating kontombre with red palm poured on it. And as they were eating, he had already told his son that he was going to buy him a car. He was going to buy the whole family a car. Then he realized that the palm had descended to the face of his son. So he watched his son and said, "Koshi, when the car comes," the car said, "I promise to buy from this family. When it comes, imagine me driving and we are in a cab. Then I turn the steer like this." Then he turned the bowl to face his eye. Because she was just quiet and wondering, what kind of fraud is this? So as they were eating, he told his father, "Dad, the bicycle that you bought for me, I've been trying to learn how to use it to cross a gutter." To cross a gutter. So he used his finger like this inside the kontombre to cross a gutter. Then the palm oil started flowing towards his eye. Koshi Papa said, "Hey, Koshi, si gota no. One fa bicycle and tra gota, si no." People of God, are these promises? Promises around kontombre you. "I promise you a car, Danin Iseya." Then it comes to his favor. "The bicycle you bought for me, me de tra gota." Then you create a space for the palm. Yeah. If that is religion, and ye ye nina ye ntu ye honfo. Because ye swadi awo pen or gin, huna ye nsusu ye si ye shasi ye gin ye hon.
Because indeed, it looks as if Jesus has his own perspective of things, and it's incumbent on us to also think of our own interest.
Because of the gospel we preach, but that's not true.
What is righteousness? What is iniquity, and how does God handle it? Does doing good make one righteous? What makes one righteous? What does God have to say on judgment and righteousness? These and many more are the nagging questions on the heart of every man that are answered in this new faith revolutionizing book, Decrypting Righteousness, God's Canon for Man. In this classic expose, the man of God, Pastor Obed, brings with clarity and deep insights the whole counsel of God on the subject of righteousness as presented by the scriptures. In this book, you will come to a complete understanding of God's canon of righteousness and his plan and purpose for all his creation, both in this age and in the ages to come. Grab your copy now from the CCI bookshops in Accra and Kumasi, or contact our international headquarters. You can also place an order on www.christcosmopolitan.org. Shalom.
If anybody brought you the need of salvation and didn't tell you his sovereignty to be saved by himself, he's not worth following. He's just gathering masses to himself. "Muhammad, what becomes of you when you are here? When you are out of here? I don't know. The judgment is with God." "Buddha, what becomes of you? Judgment is with God." "Paul Twitchell, what becomes of you? Judgment is with God." "Jesus, what becomes of you? I am in the bosom of the Father." "I am going to my Father, and I will come and take you to myself." That is a win-win situation, not a confusion. So the test of religion, first of all, the richness of God's mercy in the object personified. not in the promise of things. So hear this. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. There are a lot of people, their present love in this world is what they are projected into the world to come. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what is the love of the Father? The love of the Father is a person that lives in us. Ah, come on. The love of the Father is a person in us. Christ. Christ. So now you're beginning to understand. Love not the world. If the world cannot project a person, don't love it. Nor the things, abstract, not a person. If any man love the world outside of the person God offers for the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A person is not in him. So God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son so that he might be in you. For Christ is in us by faith, religion. So hear this. Another dichotomy or what dissects religion is this. If a religion does not put something in you, it's not worth following. We're looking at the yardstick of religion. So is it any wonder he said, to keep yourself unspotted from the world? We'll look at that soon. Religion is expressed by its four pillars. We've already spoken about it. Wisdom, power, money, and love. And love is the greatest. We've dealt with all of this. Now we are in the aspect of the love. In this aspect of love and religion, what religion should I belong? I should belong to a religion that places a person inside of me so that I can carry it whilst here today. Else I'm not secure. Somebody say you are defining religion in the context of Christianity. Oh, you. Pure religion, undefiled, is to visit people in their affliction. So we are in our affliction. What changes did Muhammad bring people in their affliction? What changes did Buddha? What changes did Paul Twitchell? What changes did all those fathers of the various organized systems of religion? What changes did they bring? What changes did common sense family bring? What changes have they brought? What changes? Are we speaking against them? No, we are not fighting anybody. We are only asking salient questions for the decision of eternal security on religion. The transformative change that does not take place by outward character and expression, but that transformative change that is effected on the inside. On the inside. So hear this. This rich mercy of God in Ephesians chapter 2, which he gave in the person of Christ, in verse 7, now he talks about the exceeding riches. So hear this. You don't go from penury to wealth. There's nothing like that. That's fraud. There'll be fraud alert. The banks would, every bank, and this is very important. It's a principle of life. Are you sure you're following me? Are you sure you're following me? Now hear this. Like, there be our bank account. There be a scare, but told me 50 Ghana. Now, if they are dear to you, young country, our account, $300 million at our account. Hey, you be sure I'll say, Yamin Shura, oh, yeah, you
ordinarily, your bank account reflects only transactions around 50 Ghana cedis. And out of the blue, all of a sudden, we see a transaction that crosses $300 million. When you're questioned on it, you say that it's the blessings of God. You are running mental.
No! Look at, please, I want you to look at how Christianity is different. So that your judgment of settling in this, the metrics must not be you just accepted that Jesus, you see, most people, that is the Christianity they have. They've not processed the religion of Christianity within themselves on the metrics of religion. So for them, they are in just the place of being religious, an outcry where they've joined the masses and they are not spiritual about it. So please get this, get this. If you can get the metrics right, then you can now place it side by side in comparative religion and say, this doesn't pass, this doesn't pass. So if you've been following, first thing, religion must be bred out of God's love. Why? Because where there is no affliction, there is no religion. Pure religion is that you visit what? The fatherless and what? The widows in what? In the affliction. So that's the definition of religion. Where there is no affliction, we don't need religion. Is it not the reason why when you go to Europe and those advanced countries, they don't need religion? Because religion doesn't, it doesn't make sense to them. Because they don't think they are in affliction. So they break down emotionally. And that's how come when you go to America, you need to preach on certain messages that seem to touch on their emotions. So you look at a people and you look at what they are lacking in and you present religion to them in that light. This is the reason why when they came here, they saw that we didn't have advanced systems and institutions. So what did they do? They brought institutional religion, schooling system, to distinct the educated from the uneducated. But that is a very wrong concept that the whites brought us. You see, as a religion is brainwashing. The earlier you understand it, the better. The earlier you appreciate it, the better. And you are mature in this. Watch this. There is nothing like somebody's educated and somebody's uneducated. Because before the white man came, we had our own system of education. Yes, we had our traditions, we had our proverbs, which is far richer than their idioms. Yes, our proverbs are far richer than the idioms of the West. It doesn't make sense. You kick a bucket. What's that? What's that? You kick a bucket, then you say, it means somebody is dead. How rich is this? That says, by the way, I'm hoping that no English person thinks that I'm being... how they're racist. No, I'm just talking about before they came here. We had our own institutional learning. But you see, the problem of that system was that it was not with decor. It was not with decor. It had not been branded. That is a problem most of us don't get when it comes to church. When you are building a system like a church, you need branding. Your brand for church has to be strong. Else, it won't sell. It is religion. The earlier you process and understand this, the better. You see, you don't focus on religion and say you are here to only build church. You need to have a schooling system that is strong, that is producing genius. And it must not just be a common school for the masses. It must be a school that is outstanding in its products. Then everybody now wants to associate and bring their children to you for you to raise them. And the earlier you have a brainwashing for kids, the more you grow. Because at least whatever happens in 10 years, you have a new breed coming in and growing with you. You see, education is so important. That's just by the way. Let's go back to the white system. Now, when they came, they brought brand. And they brought order. It's called cosmos. They brought order, cosmos. And they took out the chaos of our system. For instance, if you are in a church that is not systemized, it's chaos. It's not cosmic. That's the reason why this place is referred to as Christ order, Christ cosmopolitan. We are dealing with a system of order. The opposite of cosmos is chaos. That which is abysmal, that which is without pattern. But when you say cosmos, you're looking at the arrangement, the orderly arrangement that presents beauty, then it's cosmic. So why do we look at the universe and refer to it as the cosmos? Because we see that the light has its path, the moon has its path. There is a certain arrangement in the world that places things where they should belong. And when you take them out of their habitat, you destroy the ecosystem and the new ecosystem you are trying to plant them in. That is the wisdom of God. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Are you following me here? Now, from this side of understanding, we now come into the realization of what pure religion is. Pure religion is an arrangement. It's a cosmos. Pure religion is a world. Pure religion is a people. Now, what are those people? Here, Ephesians chapter 2. Until God shows mercy to you, that is rich. If he promises you exceeding riches, forget it. I say it again. Until you cannot just tell me that you're going to move me from Fabodia Betume Chalk and land me at East Legon, I won't even fit in. I won't fit in. It will be a mismatch. I won't fit in. It won't work. But this is what you do. It's a process. It's a process. The last time I was talking to one of my sons and I told him that there's a difference between it's a matter of time and it's a process of time. They're different. It's a matter of time simply means I'm seated here waiting that something should happen because it is a matter of time. But it is a process of time simply means that I'm involved in that process of time to become what I should become. So whatever you need to be, it shouldn't be a matter of time. It should be a process of time. You see, you want to be a doctor. It's not a matter of time. If it is a matter of time, then you and you have the same time. And so you must be a doctor equally as she should be a doctor. It is not a matter of time. It is the process of time. So time is given to you and how you process it. By going to school, applying your mind to the studies of medicine, and that process of time will make you emerge as a doctor. But if it's a matter of time, then we leave it to chance and we have no application to it. Now, this may lead us to Calvinism and Arminianism, but I'm not preaching any. Calvin is the sovereignty of God. God is the one in charge of everything. Arminianism, God, though is sovereign, he's limited in his sovereignty by the freedom of man. We don't stand for Arminianism. We don't stand for Calvinism because we know that they are both right. How are they both right? They are both right when we see the sovereignty of God mixing up with the freedom of humanity to limit human to his freedom according to his sovereignty. And yet in his sovereignty, he allows for the expression of your freedom. Both are right. So you don't take one side, you stand in the middle. Like I was telling you the other time, what it means for you to be saved, whether you can lose it or whether you can't lose it. It is the sovereignty of God that gives us salvation, Calvinism. It is our decision to receive Christ that gives us salvation in the midst of the sovereignty of God's offering sacrificial lamb. Arminianism. It is neither here nor there. It is in staying in the middle and knowing how it applies in the process of time, not the matter of time. So that in the process of time, beginning with time, there is the salvation that you have received that you cannot lose, and there is a salvation to be received that you may not get, for which reason you lost it. So whereas Calvinists are looking at the present experience, Arminianists are looking at the future experience. And whereas Arminianists are looking at the current experience, Calvinists are looking at the future experience. So it is just two sides of the same object being watched here, and the other person stands here when they are just supposed to come together and watch here a little and watch here a little per time.
Thanks so much for listening. We trust that you've been blessed with truth for life. Be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Obed Obinna Day podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remain blessed. Shalom.